Will you please turn with me now to Book of Job, chapter 1. Book of Job, chapter 1. Will you please stand to honor God's word as I read? Those who can stand, please stand. Those who cannot, please be seated. Book of Job, chapter 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was blameless and upright, and the one who feared God and shunned evil. And 7 sons and 3 daughters were born to him. Also his possessions were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, and 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and every large household, very large household. So that this man was the greatest of all the people of the East. And his sons would go and feast in their houses, each on his appointed day, and would send and invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. So it was when the days of feasting had run their course that Job would send and sanctify them or consecrate them. And he would rise early in the morning, offer burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus Job did regularly. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, from where do you come? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro and on the earth, and from walking back and forth on it. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? That there is none like him on the earth, a blameless, upright man who fears God and shuns evil? So Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him, around his household and around all he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands and his possessions and have increased in the land. But now stretch out your hand and touch all that he has and he will surely curse you on your face. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, I always say this. This is not the scripture. But when this argument was, then the Lord said, make my day. And the Lord said, behold, all he has in your hand, power. Only do not a hand on his person. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. Now there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine and holding brothers in oldest brother's house, and a messenger came to Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the donkeys feeding beside them, and the Sabaeans, they have killed the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, another also came and said, the fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I alone have escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, another also came and said, the Chaldeans formed the 3 bands, raided the camels and took them away. Yes, and killed the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, another also came and said, your sons and your daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house, and suddenly a great wind came from across the wilderness and struck the 4 corners of the house and fell on the young people. They are dead. I alone have escaped to tell you. Then Job arose, tore his robe, shaved his head and fell to the ground and worshipped. And he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, naked shall I return there. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job did not charge God with wrong. Let's pause for a moment. Lord, what a joy to sit in your holy presence, highly exalted, glorious one, who is like unto thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, and who is doing wonders. Lord, as we are sitting under the authority of your word, will you please, by your Holy Spirit, illuminate our understanding that we may understand who you are and give us the grace to believe and obey what you reveal to us, that we might become the living letter of God. Will you please bless this truth of yours as we are feasting from your word? Give us, O God, desire that we may enjoy every bite. May the words of my mouth, meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, my rock, my redeemer, and our soon coming king. And God, all God's people say, amen. Please be seated. You know, my beloved, missionary outreach program of the church is not an option for the church, but it is an obligation for the church. It's an obligation. I thank God that in 1856, William Butler and William Taylor, first Methodist missionary from America, came to our land. As a result, my grandfather was converted and here I am standing. We owe America a lot. Spiritually and everywhere. We love this country very much. And we thank God the Lord has called us to preach the truth in this nation. Well, the book of Job, the title for this exposition is Why Do Bad Things Happen to Good People? From the beginning of human history, Satan has tried to confuse and confound God's purposes by corrupting man's thinking. In the Garden of Eden, he was succeeded by calling God's character to question and convincing Eve that her disobedience would have no consequences. To this day, he continues to deceive entire civilization by blinding the minds of the unbelievers so they cannot see the glory of the gospel or the glory of Christ, as Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4. One question is hammering. One way he succeeded by questioning why, if God is so good, bad things happen to good people. And you have encountered people where, you know, workplace or everywhere. The story of Job reveals the works of the God Almighty and God Himself. My prayer for you this morning that you would see the God in a fuller scope and a length and build your faith on who God is, not what God does for you. Remember that. Remember that. The story of Job reveals the works of the Almighty God Himself. The story of Job is one of the best known story in the entire Bible. I read the book of Job more than 50 times. The more I read, more I was fascinated. So last year I took the challenge in our adult Sunday school to start the book of Job. And in 1 year I just completed 5 chapters. It is mind-boggling. I studied and I found out there are 250 practical lessons for family and people. Those who have eyes to see, they can behold the glory in the book of Job. So we've just finished five chapters. It's a fascinating story of Job. Its pages are veiled with the deep, perplexing issues of life. It is hard for the fallen man to understand. Why do righteous suffer? Where is God when the tragedy strikes? By the way, Philip Yancey wrote a wonderful book, Where is God When It Hurts? I wish you would have in your library. Where is God When It Hurts? Philip Yancey is a wonderful book. I highly recommend. If God is so loving, how can he allow the human suffering? Does God care? Does God care? Is God worth worshiping in tough times? Must God buy his worshipers with blessings? These are the tough questions, and if you know God of the Job, you understand all the questions answered. Many Christians have read and heard about Job and his trials, but very few have understood. The question can be asked, what was God seeking to accomplish through Job's ordeal? Matter of fact, it was God who started the ordeal. How do we balance? How do we understand? Job is the true account of the godly man, a prominent, very influential man, godly man, rich man, matter of minutes, lost everything. Can you imagine a father has to bury 10 children at the same time? I cannot. Job did it. Top of that, his own beloved wife, Mrs. Job, came up and he said, you are not worth, curse God, die. Probably she believed in a prosperity gospel. Everything was taken away. God is not worth worshiping. To that, Job answered, one of the profound answers given in the Bible. There are two answers. One is Genesis chapter 50 verse 20. When Joseph's brother stood before Joseph after they buried their father, and they were all down in their spirit and their head was down. And what did Joseph say? You meant it evil, but God meant it good. Job, when his wife told, curse God and die. How did Job answer? In chapter 2 verse 10, this is what Job says. You speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God? And shall we not accept adversity? Wow. We need a husband like that who can guide their family. Can we not accept bad things? Always we accept good things. That is the God we have to teach our children. Compounding the pains Job was going through, his 3+1 friend, 4 friend came and condemned him rather than comfort him. Still worse, God remained silent throughout his nightmare. Friends, imagine your mind. You are righteous, you shun evil, you fear God. And everything is taken away and heaven is silent. I can imagine what happened in Bethany when Mary and Martha sent the word to Jesus, the one whom you love is sick, and there was a silence in the home. Jesus did not come. I'm sure you must have gone through that road. When heaven is silent, heaven would like to draw more to him. So you know. Heaven was silent. What makes the inspired story so perplexing that Job was the most righteous man on the earth? This raises another question. Why do bad things happen to good people? Why does God allow tragedy? My dear beloved, when you encounter this kind of question, how would you answer? I hope and pray that this little exposition will help you to help other people. Because there are many people are hurting. Financially, mentally, family-wise, looking for a job and no job. If you know God, then you would be linked to Him more and more to find your strength. Because He is the refuge and fortress in the times of trouble. There is no one like Him. There is no one like Him. God was the one who initiated this entire personal nightmare for Job. This raises another question. Why this thing happened? When you read the story, it was God who removed the impenetrable protection from around Job. You know, my beloved, as you read the book of Job, first chapter, second chapter, it's just a wonder. You know the richness of our God. Even Satan acknowledges that you have blessed Job. You have a hedge around Job. Probably he might have tried before to destroy Job. He could not touch him because God was protecting him. And may I tell you the good news, my beloved? When you are in the blood of the Lamb, you are eternally secure by His power until He allows you to go through. Nobody can touch you. Nobody. In the whole wide world. John chapter 10 verse 28. Nobody can snatch me from my hand. That is my God. Unless God permits. And this is what is happening here. So I'm drawing you more and more to God. So I wish you would have an open understanding. Here is God is removing impenetrable hedge around Job. And giving Satan unlimited access to bring the destruction on Job. Can God do this? I will answer. Job was a man who stood tallest in the day of for God. Tragedy came. Listen. Underline this word. Tragedy came in Job's life, not because Job had done anything wrong, but everything was right. Tragedy came in Job's life, not because anything was wrong, but because everything was right. The most wonderful testimony that he was the most righteous man on the earth. He was marked to suffer. I will tell you later on. The same is true for every believer who walks with God. Every Christian will undergo divine appointed times of suffering. Remember, such suffering does not come because you have done wrong, but because you are right. Sometimes God does discipline when you sin. That is the chastisement of God to bring you closer to remember that you still need cleansing of the Lord. Lord does allow that to happen. But suffering will come. Paul writes in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, those who would like to live godly life, they will suffer persecution. Paul writes in Philippians chapter 1, verse 27, that we are not only to believe the gospel, but we are called to suffer for His name's sake. When Peter and John and the apostles were commissioned before the council in Acts chapter 5, after Ananias and Sapphira were buried, he said, you're not supposed to name the name Jesus Christ. And they beat them. And Acts chapter 5 verse 41, as they left the council, this is the word Holy Spirit writes, they rejoice. And he said, thank you, Lord, for counting us worthy to suffer for your name. Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5 verse 11 and 12, He very clearly says, blessed are you when you are persecuted. So the persecutions is the part. We are already, as salvation appointed by God, so with the persecutions to glorify God. It's a wonderful wonderful. So when God allows you to go through that, consider privilege. Consider privilege. When we were suffering in the churches in the United Methodist Church, John MacArthur came to know, because Caitlin told John that my dad is going through, he called me. And he said, Solomon, I envy you because you are counted worthy among the prophets to go through this suffering. Isn't it wonderful to look at differently? Rather than my me, consider privilege. Consider privilege. You know why? But the works of the God be manifested. A believer may be marked to stand. When he stands the tallest, the Lord will allow him to go because the world is watching how you are handling. Wonderful. Just wonderful. You know, when God allows this to, I always say as a pastor, we always looking for the final product. God is looking for the process. Because in the process, he wants to glorify. Job, a person of great faith, suffered. God appointed for him. You know, I read about this, and this is what I read. The strength of the vessel is demonstrated by the hurricane. The strength of the vessel is demonstrated by the hurricane. The power of the gospel can be fully shown only when Christians are subjected to the fiery trials. Well, the outline is already there in the bulletin. So Job's character, Job's conspirator, Job's catastrophe, and Job's confidence. Chapter 1, verse 1 through 5, Job's character. Job's character. Notice Job's strong faith in God is validated with the truly transformed life. Job lived in the land of Uz, a large territory east of the Jordan River, southeast of the Dead Sea near modern day of Jordan. His faith in God was so strong that the holy God testified that here is my man. A blameless, upright, fear God, shun evil. What a tremendous testimony from God Almighty. I always say, as a pastor, how would you like you to remember when you pass on? In a memorial service or a funeral service, think about that. Write it down how you would like to remember. Write it down, put it in the refrigerator, and leave it every day like that. So when you pass this on, your children would be proud of you. That here's my dad and mom lived exactly what they presented to us. Job's testimony is profound. The word blameless does not mean he was a sinless, but that he was beyond the reproach in his character and the conduct. No one could unjustly charge Job for the wrongdoing. His moral conduct was super. He was upright in his action, never turned from God's standard. Job was filled with holy awe. He was not perfect, but he was forgiven. He was forgiven. Whenever you read the Bible, he feared God or fear that fear of God. What is the fear of God? For us, the one who fears God, to me, he has exchanged, listen to this, he has exchanged his will, his actions, his attitudes, his deeds, his goals for God's. The one who fears God, he has already exchanged his will, his attitude, his action, his desire, everything for God's. So, he lived for God's glory. He lived for God's. He did not have a church. He did not have accountability. He did not have a pastor counseling. But what he knew about God, he lived in that standard. How much more we are responsible before God, my beloved? Joseph did not have a Bible, yet he lived in the fear of God. all the Old Testament saints, they did not have full revelation of God, yet they live what they believe. You know, there were two characters in the Bible. Jesus gave the testimony. In the entire New Testament, if you read, there were only two persons, and they both were Gentiles. One was centurion in Matthew chapter 8, and verse 10, where Jesus said, I haven't found a faith like this man. Why? Not because he had a wonderful faith, but what he knew about God, he believed. What about Canaanite woman whose daughter was possessed with the evil spirit? She came in Matthew chapter 15 and she argued with the Lord, said, will you please? And Jesus was silent. And then what did Jesus say? That I have sent to the lost people of my own. He said, even the dog eats what falls from the table. And what did Jesus say? Great is your faith. What he knew about Jesus. Oh, beloved, every Sunday you come and sit under the authority of the Word of God. How much we know more about God? Do we cleave to the Word? Like, so when you live, people read Christ in you. Some people will never go to church. Alexander McClear said that people will never open the Bible, but when you go from the church, they read you. Paul writes in Colossians chapter 1, verse 27, Christ in you, hope of the glory. Christ in you, Christ in me, hope of the glory. Job had a tremendous testimony. He was a family man. He had 7 sons, 3 daughters. Job's sons and daughters loved one another. Job was greatly blessed as a father. He was a very successful businessman, possessing much livestock. The Holy Spirit writes that he had 7,000 sheep, provided him luxurious clothing and ample food. 3,000 camels gave him the transportation. 500 yoke of oxen helped his servant to plow the ground. Imagine how much he had. 500 donkeys kept him supplied all what he needed. And top of that, great servant in his camp. He was a praying father. Oh, I love it. He was a praying father. After the family's gathering, Job would sacrifice a burnt offering for each of his children. He was deeply concerned for his welfare of the spiritual welfare of his own children, lest they have cursed God and denied God. Oh, beloved, America needs a father and mother like this. Oh, my heart grieves. We have a big vacuum. Susanna Wesley, the founder of John Wesley and Charles Wesley's mother, Susanna Wesley. Samuel Wesley was an itinerant preacher. Susanna Wesley, they have 19 children. Several died. But the history says, every night, Susanna Wesley would lay her hand on a child and pray for them before they go to sleep. The Lord would protect and make them as he had planned. Out of that, 3 or 4 became mayors, governor, and Charles Wesley and John Wesley, you know the story. What you sow, you will reap. Job was a praying father. He would pray for his children. May God raise fathers and mothers in our time like this. Here is a Job's character, Job's conspirator. This statement, chapter 1, verse 6 to 12, talk about God. And I want you to pay close attention because that is the real truth about God. Why does bad things happen to good people? Where is God when it hurts? Job, by God's initiative, Satan's request was granted and God tested Job to the brink. Where is God? Who is God? Well, let me give you Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Whoever comes must believe God is. Underline God is. God is. Who is God of the Bible? He's an omnipotent, he's all-powerful God. Elohim, Yah, Elohim, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, Psalm number 19, verse 1, Elohim, all-powerful God, all-seeing God. He sees all. Last Sunday, Jimmy mentioned about that in Genesis chapter 16, verse 30, Yahweh Roi, he sees all. And God of the Bible, he's present everywhere. Ezekiel chapter 48, verse 35, Yahweh Shamam, God is there. He's everywhere. Who is God? He said, whoever comes must believe God is his omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient. Jeremiah chapter 9 and verse 24, 25. Thus says the Lord, thus says the Lord, the wise man should not glory in his wisdom, not the mighty man should glory in his might, not the rich man should glory in his richness, but let him glory in this, that he understands and knows I, the Lord, who exercise loving kindness, righteousness, and judgment. Who is God? The one who has authority to exercise righteousness, who has authority to exercise loving kindness, who has authority to exercise judgment. Paul writes in Romans chapter 9, verse 21, he is the potter and we are the clay. Can potter have a right to make from the same lump a vessel of honor and the vessel of dishonor? This is God. He does what he pleases, how he pleases, when he pleases, whom he pleases. Do I question God? When you came to the cross, you already signed, not my will, but your will be done. You already attended your own funeral service of your own right when you came to the cross. Not my will, but your will. So God has a right over everything. So he does what he pleases, how he pleases, when he pleases, whom he pleases. And he always does for his own glory, for our own good. If you understand this God of the Bible, oh, you will never question that anything comes in your life, it is permitted by heaven. You at this sign, you will never understand. The last song we are going to sing, William Cowper wrote a beautiful hymn, God moves in a mysterious way. Every word is loaded. I wish every month we should sing this hymn. It's so beautiful. When Paul leads us in this last song, pay attention to every word. Every word. This is the God of the Bible, that he does everything. You know, your understanding of God determines your actions and your attitudes. Grow in the knowledge of God. Grow. Oh. Grow in the knowledge of God. Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 3 verse 19, grow in the knowledge of God. In chapter 4, Ephesians 4 verse 13, he said, grow in the knowledge of Jesus. And Ephesians 5 verse 18, he said, grow in the knowledge of the Holy Spirit. Oh, beloved, more like Jesus. Get into the scripture. Read. Chinese proverb. And I adopted personally. No Bible reading, no coffee. Let the word of God tell you who God is. Chapter Psalm number 15, 115 verse 3. God is in the heaven. He hath done whatever has pleased him. Nebuchadnezzar was a hard man. He learned a hard way. And this is what Daniel writes in chapter 4, verse 35. He does according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. No one can restrain his hand. Psalm 135, verse 6. Whatever the Lord pleases, he does. He does. Do I question God? Abraham learned that lesson a long time back. In Genesis chapter 18, verse 25, shall not the judge of the universe do the right? Rhetorical question. And the answer is yes. He always does right. If you accept, you grow. If you reject, you confuse and puzzles. In chapter 1, verse 6, one day the angels came and presented themselves before the Lord, and they came to report before the divine throne, and the angelic host came. You know, by the way, one of these days, believers will stand before the judgment seat of Christ to be rewarded, not to be judged, because we already judged by God. God has judged Jesus Christ on our behalf, and he took the sin on our behalf. So we will be rewarded. We will be rewarded. But the unbelievers will be standing before the white throne, and there they will be sentenced for eternal damnation, which is called hell. So Satan also came along with the angel. The Lord asked him, where have you come from? The Almighty God knew all these things, but the question was intended to elicit the confession. Adam failed. Satan passed. He told that I came from roaming back and forth, and did you consider my servant Job? He said, yes. Because you have blessed him, that's why. You know, what is he doing now? What is Satan is doing today? You know, my friends, he's roaming. Bible tells us he's roaming like a lion. Peter writes in 1 Peter 5, verse 8. He's a prince of this world. John writes in chapter 12, verse 31, where Jesus says, I have nothing in common with him. He's confusing the mind of the blind believers so they cannot see the glory of gospel, glory of Christ. That is 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. He's stealing God's word, Matthew chapter 13, verse 19. This is what he's doing now. He's opposing God's word, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 18. He's sowing the weeds, Matthew chapter 13, verse 37 to 40. He's tempting God's people to do evil, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 5. He's attacking God's word. Genesis chapter 3, verse 11. He's spreading the false doctrine. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. He's persecuting church even today. Persecuting church around the world. How many people are persecuted today? They were burned. They were stoned. You have no clue. We are so blessed in the nation. But you look up around the world. They burn. They burn. They burn them alive. One of the girls, Syrian girl, came to America, got converted back. His father came to know, asked his brother, her brother to come and take her back few years ago. And her family gathered and she told her sister, whatever happens to me, I want you to write this to my sister in Christ in Ohio. She came to learn the English and college, 20 years old. She got converted, learned the news. The news went back to Syria. Her father sent her brother. Her brother came and took her back. And this is the story. The whole family gathered in the room and asked, deny Jesus. Allah is our God. And she said, no, Jesus is my Lord. Father stepped forward. Mother stepped forward and told same thing. Uncle, aunt, but everybody. And she said, no, I cannot deny because Jesus died for me. They took her out and stoned her. And while they were stoning, she was singing praises to the Lord. This is the work. He's a murderer. Satan is a murderer. He does. Her sister wrote email to Ohio, her friend. He said, I cannot imagine. My sister, while they were stoning, she was singing songs to Jesus. Brothers, we are treading where the saints have trod. That day is coming in America. Be ready. Be ready. And then he is persecuting church. He is deceiving the nations. And we are watching in our own nation what's going on. Do we? If Prophet Isaiah was here, he would go to the chamber of Congress and he would say, Isaiah 5:25, woe to you who call evil good and good evil. He would call the Congress, he said, woe to you. And he said, woe to you who call bitter for good and good for bitter. Woe to you who call darkness for light and the lightness for darkness. This is what is happening. This is the work of the Satan, deceiving nations. The Lord asked Satan, have you considered my servant Job? God praised Job and his testimony, we know that. No one on earth is like that. In other words, accuser accused God that Job is worshiping because of your blessing. The whole lesson in book of Job, that Satan wanted the world to know because Job is worshiping because of the blessings. The Lord wanted to prove otherwise. His blessing, he is worshiping me, not because of the blessings, but because I am his Redeemer. Blessings is here. Tomorrow is not there. Redeemer is always there. That is the Lord. No wonder he says in Job chapter 19 verse 25, I know my Redeemer liveth and I will see him one day. I wish every believer would say the testimony just like that. If you remove the blessings, and he will curse you. Keep in this mind, Satan is not all-knowing, but God is. And never give credit to Satan that Satan did to me, unless God allows him to do that. Please, do not give credit to Satan. The Lord has given the permission. Job's catastrophe, and then you know, my friends, everything was taken away, you know. I don't want to go in details about that. And one by one was taken away. And what if God has chosen you for a special object of his grace, accept it with gladness. You know, A.W. Tozer has written this note, and I would like to read for you. And listen to this very so beautifully. If God has singled you out to be a special object of his grace, you may expect him to honor you with a stricter discipline than greater suffering. And greater suffering than less favored ones are called upon by popular preachers. A sculptor does not use manicure to reduce the rude and unshapely marble to a thing of beauty. He uses the saw and hammer and chisel are the cruel tools, but without them, the rough stone must remain forever formless and unbeautiful. To do this supreme work of grace within you, he will take from you, from your heart, everything you love most, everything you trust in will go from you. Piles of ashes will be there, which once upon a time your precious treasure. How true it is. How true it is. When God has chosen you as a special object, he will allow you to go anything and everything. You know, my friends, I can tell you about my own story, why I stepped down in 2014. Sunday, I had to preach 3 sermons, and that particular morning at 2:30, I always get up at 2:30. And 2:30, when I woke up with a heavy headache, and I did not know why I was crying, my wife woke up and said, everything is all right. I said, no, I have so much pain. I never had it in my life. So I was lying down on my carpet, and she put her foot on my neck and my head. 45 minutes, she very much pushed hard in order to release my pain. The saga began. That was the day pain started. As a result of that, my friends, I had seen 16 neurologists, 4 pain managements, countless procedures. Nothing happened. I had, top of that, I had 48 injections in my head. Yale Hospital neurologist lady, she injected 6 injections. Here it was painful. Painful. I cried. It took half hour to inject 6 times. Every day I was crying, Lord, take me home, take me home. I cannot handle it. The world was watching. My children were watching. Church was watching. How do I handle? I never questioned why. I said, Lord, give me grace to go through. Oh, friends, I was scheduled for another procedure. Every procedure, you know, why this happened to me? Because Lord had a plan. Every doctor gave, I gave the testimony and the witness and gospel to the doctors. Praise the Lord for that. When they take me the procedure, the anesthesiologist say, are you going to pray for us? First time in the history of medical, in Yukon Medical Center. And I prayed, everybody stood around holding their hand. Every time the nurse would assure me, ORS, are you going to pray for us? I said, yes, I'm going to pray for. This is the testimony I left behind. This is why God allowed me to go through. Otherwise, they would never know. And you know, my friends, in August, all of a sudden, pain disappeared. No pain. I was not able to see this side or that side. Pain was so excruciating. Every night I would cry on her lap. And I said, please do not pray for healing. Pray for the Lord would usher me in presence, in his presence. But you know, I never questioned. I said, Lord, thank you. Because his grace was sufficient. When anything allows God in your life, may you use as the servant of God for God's purpose. Look at that way. If sickness strikes you, cancer strikes you, if anything happens, the Lord would like you to make those things as your object of the servant and use it for God's glory. Because everything will go away one day. And then Job, in the last point, he said, his confidence, he was quoting, I think, David wrote later on, in Psalm number 20, verse 7, some trust in chariots, some in horses, but will trust in the name of the Lord. And Job said, naked I came from my mother's womb, naked I returned. Lord gave, Lord took it, blessed. What a worshiping spirit. When you have a proper view of God, you see everything properly. I think later on, David writes in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 11, 12, 13. Solomon writes in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 15. Paul writes in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 7. Same thing what Job has said. Nothing we brought, nothing we'll take. What the Lord has given, blessed be the name of the Lord. That is the testimony Job has left for us. Because he had a proper view of God. My beloved, get in the scripture. Know who God of the Bible. Then you can handle anything and everything come in your life. He always works and wills according to his purpose. He is a glorious God. Never doubt, never question, accept who he is. And you would grow. And leave that example for your children to follow. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so very much for Job. Thank you, Lord, that you allowed him to go through so we can learn precious, precious lessons. Help us, O God, continue to open our eyes to behold the glory of who you are. And help us to build our family, our character, our children, grandchildren, that, Lord, one day we can enter with joy and you would say, welcome home. O merciful God, help us that we might be found faithful. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.